Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and pleased to welcome back WPR sports reporter Megan Hart to share all the news that's been going on. She's been covering a lot in Wisconsin sports, including the Brewers in the playoffs, the prospects for the Bucks. They're getting started tonight again, I think, and what's up with some of the UW teams. And we want to touch on the Ryder Cup because she was lucky enough to be there, at least for one of the days. So I want to find out what her impressions were from that. And, of course, want to hear from you on any of these topics. You can join in. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Megan Hart, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
We got a lot we can talk about here. We've got the playoffs start on Friday for the Brewers. And, of course, they'll be playing Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. What do you think? How are they looking against the Braves?
You know, I think it'll be interesting. They've got a 3:30 game on Friday, which, you know, that's one thing about the playoffs. I guess it's a little, maybe you got some leniency if you are technically a sports reporter to knock off to watch some day games. but they play at 3:30 on Friday and 4 o'clock on Saturday. But I think it'll be, interesting because I feel like the Braves have probably the edge on offense if you look at these two teams, but the Brewers really have the edge when it comes to pitching, and that's so important in the postseason. So I think it should be an interesting series.
They haven't announced yet who's going to be the starting pitcher, but I got to believe Corbin Burns is going to be the starter.
I would think so, yeah. Corbin Burns has just had an incredible season. He became the first Brewers pitcher ever to finish with the lowest ERA in the National League, and he's a serious contender to win the Cy Young Award this year. He becomes the third Brewer, I think, ever to do that. And so you gotta assume that he's probably going to be their ace. And the Braves do have a couple of really good starting pitchers in their rotation, but then they fall off, I think, a little bit more than the Brewers do after they pitch Charlie Morton and Max Fried.
And I was ready to say, well, at least our starters are pretty good. I think are really good. Freddie Peralta's had a little bit of a stumble, but we've with Devin Williams,
yeah,
losing him. There's a lot of rumors about why he managed to pound his fist into the wall or into a locker. The rumors have flown around about why that happened. They really haven't been very specific about what caused that.
Yeah, it's a really unfortunate situation. It would have been so great to have him throughout these playoffs because he's such a good weapon in the eighth inning. He really helps the Brewers starters kind of it helps the Brewers shorten the game to have him in the eighth and to have Josh Hader in the ninth available. And so it's really a shame. He apparently, after the Brewers clinched the division, he had a little too much to drink and got upset about something and punched the wall and broke his hand. And just horrible timing. And a real shame after he missed the playoffs with another injury last year. It's going to put some extra pressure on the Brewers bullpen, people like Brad Boxberger and Hunter Strickland and Aaron Ashby. But, you know, I think, you know, one thing to maybe take some solace in is the Brewers starters haven't necessarily had to go too deep in a lot of games this season. They've been able to get some rest leading up to the playoffs since the Brewers had such a healthy lead in the division. And so I think, you know, we will see more, we'll see them go a bit deeper into games and maybe take, you know, make things a little easier on the bullpen without him.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, you know, pretty much all year it feels like get to the sixth inning, you know, the starter to the sixth inning, and then seventh inning somebody, eighth inning somebody, ninth inning. Well, it was an eighth inning at Williams, a ninth inning Hader, and then maybe it was Boxberger or one of the other guys in the seventh. And I mean, if you got that lead going into the seventh inning, you pretty much are going to win the game.
Yeah. The 1-2 punch of Williams and Hader is really, you know, there's not many teams that could boast something like that. So it really is a shame. Although I think, you know, at least based on the last few weeks from the Brewers, maybe a bigger concern is whether or not they'll be able to get it done on offense. Throughout the playoffs, I've had some players, especially guys like Omar Narvaez, who was so good early in the season, that he's been struggling lately. And, you know, they've been able to get offense from a few guys like Colton Wong and Manny Pena. But, you know, hopefully that will come together in the playoffs. I know there's been a lot of talk about kind of how the Brewers have closed out the season. They lost five of their last six games. But it's tricky to kind of – Craig Counsell said this, the Brewers manager. It's kind of tricky to compare the Brewers to the teams that they were playing, because those teams were still playing for something. The Brewers had already clinched the division. They weren't going to catch the Giants. And so, you know, he was putting more priority on keeping players healthy. So maybe we'll see something different when they get out there later this week. We'll see.
I was glad he wasn't playing Boxberger very much the last few games, because he got overworked, I think. I mean, he pitched the most innings he's ever pitched, he pitched this year. So that's he was starting to not play as well the last few outings. So I'm glad to see him get some rest. But the manager was a little feisty about it. I think he was getting a little irritated at people for wringing their hands so much about losing these last games. But I think he's right to do it the way he did it. I would never try to outmanage Craig Counsell. He's a pretty good man.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the only thing that the Brewers in the final days of the season really kind of had to play for was their franchise record for most wins was 96, and they got to 95. But, you know, otherwise there wasn't a whole lot at stake. The one thing, though, that's kind of scary is that they were closing out the season against the Cardinals and the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I think both of the wild card games are going to be really interesting tomorrow. Today we've got the Yankees and the Red Sox. Yeah, probably the most famous rivalry in baseball, if not all of sports, to determine who plays the Tampa Bay Rays from my hometown. I think especially the Dodgers and the Cardinals is going to be a really good game. They're probably the two hottest teams in baseball. I think that it was a tough way to end the season.
Well, I had somebody said regarding tonight's game between the Yankees and the Red Sox, the really very best thing about the game, this person said, is that one of them is going to lose and be gone, and it's too bad they both couldn't be. They're not the most loved teams outside there.
No, I'm sure that person's not the only one who feels that way. And, you know, it's kind of a shame. It could have really been exciting, because there was a lot of intrigue in the American League kind of coming into the last day. The Yankees and the Red Sox both needed to win. The Mariners and the Blue Jays were right on their heels. So we didn't end up having any play-in games to determine who was going to be in that wild card game. But I think it's still just the storyline behind both of the wild card games are really exciting.
And I have to say, there was a lot of grumbling at one point when this wild card business came up and having a wild card game. And there were people, sort of purists, I guess, who were saying, you know, this isn't real baseball the way it should be played. But there's a lot of excitement about those games. And I don't think we're going to be, I don't know, do you think the wild card games are going to go away?
No, I think that I think they're really fun. I think this year is a great example of just, you know, how exciting they can be. And I think, you know, one thing I do really, really love about baseball is how I think it's still, of, you know, the four major American professional sports, still the most difficult to make the playoffs and the most strenuous regular season. And so I think even with the wild card game, you still hold on to that. So hopefully we'll get a couple really good games these next couple of days.
I really want to watch that Dodgers-Cardinals game. That's going to be, that could be really good. It'll probably, maybe it'll turn into a yawner and somebody will win 10-1 or something, but I doubt it.
Yeah, and it's hard to know. I mean, it's obviously looking far ahead. We don't want to discount the Braves by any means, but it's hard to know who you would rather play. I think maybe the Cardinals, but and the Dodgers are dealing with some injuries. It doesn't look like Clayton Kershaw is going to be back soon, but you know, still they won what, 106 games, so. It's kind of like either way.
You win 106 games and you don't make it. That would be kind of a blow, wouldn't it?
I know, yeah. You gotta feel bad for the Arizona playing in that division with just taking a beating every day between even a team like the Padres, who went into the season with such high expectations to have to play the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres week in and out. It's got to be painful.
Interesting, as I looked at the schedule and the timing of the games, what they're trying to do is get as little overlap among the games as they can. So, of course, the West Coast games are later than the Midwest games for the most part. And so it's, you know, if you look at that, I've got the schedule right in front of me looking at it now. And then there's a little bit of sort of the better games are going to be in some preferred spots. But I don't know. I've looked at a number of quote-unquote experts picking who's going to win the World Series, and I have yet to find one that has – as the Brewers, even in the final, even in the World Series, let alone winning it. So good on them if they make it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very tough road. And the Brewers have, they haven't, as we talked about, haven't necessarily played their very best baseball down the stretch. But they have played really well this season, but it's a really tough road when you've got the likes of the Dodgers or the Cardinals and the Giants to get through to get to the World Series.
Yeah, Megan Hart, our guest today, sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. And we've spent, gosh, more time than I thought we'd spend talking about the Brewers and the playoffs. We've got a whole lot more to talk about because there's some really cool things coming out of Packer land, Green Bay Packer land. We've got the Bucks starting their preseason tonight against the Grizzlies. I know Megan's been looking into that a bit, and I know she's been looking into some of the Badger teams as well. So she's going to stay with us right till 12:30. We will take a look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with Megan Hart. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here visiting today with WPR sports reporter Megan Hart to share all the news she's been following and covering in Wisconsin sports, including, we talked the Brewers, and we certainly talked about them quite a bit, but also the Bucks. What's going on with the Bucks? What's going on with the Packers? What's going on with Badger sports, UW Badger sports? So lots there, and if you want to join in, I hope you will at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Megan, let's go to the Packers for a minute. You know, so much drama at the beginning of, prior to the season and then the beginning of the season. Do you think the personalities are meshing or starting to mesh pretty well?
Yeah, you know, like you said, it was a very busy off season. And then that first game of the year against the Saints, I went to Florida State, and I'm from the Tampa Bay area, and so I've seen Saints quarterback Jameis Winston quite a lot. And I've never seen him play such a focused and disciplined game as he did against the Packers to open the season. And it was not pretty for Green Bay. Unfortunately, they have been able to really turn things around, especially when it comes to their offense. So they beat the Steelers on Sunday 27-17, although I think it could have been a wider margin had some things gone differently. Since that blowout loss to New Orleans, they've won three straight. They're leading the NFC North. It does seem like they really have managed to right the ship.
And Aaron Rodgers, one of his best friends, Randall Cobb, who he insisted on coming to play for the Packers, or he wasn't going to play, did pretty darn well against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to watch those two in action. He led the team with 5 receptions for 69 yards. He had 2 touchdowns, and he was really the go-to guy, especially on third down conversions. It helps when you've got somebody like Davante Adams, who obviously is going to be the kind of the focus for defenses, no matter who the Packers are playing. But it was a lot of fun to watch those guys play this in Dallas and Houston after leaving the Packers. But it really seems like he's happy to be back, and Aaron Rodgers is happy to have him back.
For sure. On the sort of the downside, we had our cornerback, Jair Alexander, injury. What do you think that's going to mean?
Yeah, that's not great news for a Packers defense that's already dealing with injuries, and especially maybe losing linebacker Za'Darius Smith for the year after back surgery. But Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said that he's going to have an update tomorrow on Jair Alexander. So we really kind of don't know how serious it is yet. I think maybe the one bright spot for the Packers defense is their rookie corner Eric Stokes has played so well this season. And so that's some good news for the secondary. But hopefully, Jair Alexander will be able to come back sooner rather than later. And, you know, it's kind of hard to look at the game this past weekend and say too much about the defense aside from the potential impacts of that injury, because Pittsburgh just really does not have a very good offense. But they do have a very good defense. And so to see not only Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb really connect on offense, but also to see the run game, that was a big problem when the Packers played New Orleans. And so to see the run game get going, to see such a great game from A.J. Dillon, who's in his second year with the Packers. I think there were definitely some positive takeaways aside from that Jair Alexander injury.
Yeah, looking forward to the coming games for sure. And I'm really looking forward to the Bucs as well. They start their preseason tonight against the Grizzlies. Do they look ready to defend their NBA title?
It's really cool to be in a position where you get to even talk about it from that perspective. I think, going into the season, a lot of probably the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets are maybe the odds makers' favorites, but the Bucks really have to be up there as one of the top contenders this year. They haven't made too many changes to the team. They lost PJ Tucker to the Heat, and they've signed a few new players. George Hill is back with the Bucks, but really most importantly, they've still got sort of the big three who led them through last season in the postseason with Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday. I think, there are some questions about Giannis's knee going into this season. He injured it during the playoffs last year, and he's had some issues with his knees throughout his career. He told Greek television that he was still feeling some soreness there, but then during Bucks media day last week, he said he was feeling pretty good. He's going to listen to his body and kind of take care of himself as he needs to. I think, the good news for the Bucks is they are such a good team that they will maybe have some opportunities to rest players, especially Giannis, when he needs it. This actually is the first the NBA is going back to more of a regular season this year.
Yeah.
Last year they didn't start until December because of changes with the pandemic. So, you know, it could be a problem across the league with the short off season players dealing with injuries. But hopefully, you know, the knee problem with Giannis isn't serious and he'll be able to start contributing early in the season.
They're still going to have to go through the Nets. Unfortunately.
And we can't be as
lucky as we were last year with so many Nets players going down right at the when they needed them the most.
Yeah. But it was because the first two games that they played against that in the Nets series were not pretty. So the Nets are not an easy opponent. But one thing that's pretty cool is the Bucks are going to open the regular season against the Nets in Milwaukee on October 19th, and they will drop their championship banner and get their rings. So, that'll be a really nice day for them.
What about, you mentioned COVID. Wasn't there some debate going on relating to the vaccine and how are the Bucks doing in that area?
Yeah, it's been an interesting discussion with the NBA. The league has decided so far not to implement a vaccine mandate for players. But apparently, according to ESPN, 95% of players have received at least one dose. So the vast majority of players are vaccinated. That includes the Milwaukee Bucks. Team owners say that the vast majority of their team is vaccinated. And among the players who's confirmed that he's vaccinated is Giannis. And he talked a bit about his reasons for doing that during media day, citing his family, and he's got now another young child. So, one thing that's interesting is at Fiserv Forum, the team announced yesterday that they're going to require either a vaccine record or a negative COVID test for anybody who's sitting within 15 feet of the court. But in some cities, like New York or San Francisco, for example, there are citywide mandates saying that will prevent players who are unvaccinated potentially from playing in games. And so during media day, Bucks general manager John Horst said he doesn't expect that to have a big impact on the team. But it'd be interesting to see moving forward how that looks. Of course, it's not such a big issue for baseball or football where most games are outside. So we'll really get a glimpse of it during the NBA season.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's maybe talk about some Badger teams. We got the women's hockey team is ranked number one again. that team amazes me. What can we expect from them this year?
You know, I think one thing that's really nice is I think you can kind of always expect them to do pretty well. They've played four games so far this season, and they've outscored opponents 27-1. So needless to say, they won all four games, 4-0. They play St. Cloud State this weekend at LeBron Arena in Madison, and they are also going to be dropping their banner for their national title. And they've just gotten off to a great start. They are returning some of their stars, like Daryl Watts, who scored the overtime goal to help them win the national championship last year, and Kennedy Blair, who was the goaltender for that campaign, and Sophie Shirley, who's an incredible scorer. They've also got some young stars like McKenna Webster, who's actually leading the NCAA in scoring. Yesterday, during his news conference, head coach Mark Johnson talked about how, for a lot of the young players, last year was not a normal season. It was a short season. There were no fans. They won a national championship. So it's kind of all over the place. And so he thinks that some of these young players are really going to be able to be even more productive this year as things start to get back to normal. And he also talked about how the team is just really excited to play in front of fans again in Madison because they get so much support there. So should be another good season. And actually today is media day for men's hockey. They start their season against Michigan Tech at the Kohl Center this weekend, and they're coming off Big Ten championship. So a lot of exciting stuff going on for hockey fans in Madison.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know if you've ever been to one of the women's games in Madison at the arena, but it's a great place to watch because it's a more intimate kind of setting, I think, and you fill that up, and it's a noisy place.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's one of the things that that Mark Johnson said yesterday is that it means a lot to his team and his staff to be able to play there, but also that, you know, a lot of the opponents who come play there really get a kick out of it because they might not always play in front of sellout crowds and so much enthusiasm. And so it's really good to be able to have fans back in attendance.
Well, our women's teams have been doing just great. I'm thinking about volleyball. Now, we had a little hiccup with the team. I mean, they started ranked second. Now I think they're ranked fifth after, what, the loss to Maryland, I think it was?
Yeah, they this week they've moved up to fourth.
Up to fourth.
So they're working their way back up because they beat number 7 Minnesota last week. They had a good week with a top 10 win. And they are so they're 11-1. And they've already beat not only Minnesota, but also they've beat the defending national champions in Kentucky this season. They play Iowa, I think, tomorrow. But really, this month is going to be exciting. They've got a stretch where they play Ohio State, who's now ranked 7th. Number 13 Penn State, number 10 Nebraska, and number 6 Purdue, all in a row. And so, you know, the Big Ten is really competitive, and that's one of the things their head coach Kelly Sheffield has talked about, is it just really keeps you on your toes. You always have to stay focused to play in the Big Ten. But, yeah, they're going to have – it looks like they're off to another great start. And really, you know, 2 years ago they reached the final. They lost to Stanford. Last year they reached the Final Four. And so it would be really cool. They've got a couple of returning stars in Dana Retke and Sydney Hilly who have made huge contributions to this program and to college volleyball. So it would be a great story if they could break through this year.
And they're really getting fan support too. Now there's the sort of expanded fan seating, and the UW students have really embraced them this year. And that's been a big benefit, I think.
Yeah, that's one of the things that Coach Sheffield talked about during his news conference yesterday, is just what it means to get support from the fans. And really, when you build the winning traditions that, of course, the women's hockey team and now the women's volleyball team have been able to create, you know, the fans are definitely going to follow. So they both get so much fan support, and that's great for women's sports.
Absolutely. John in Orfordville, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, some good sports programs at the UW, certainly, and football is always one of them. But we do have a question, you know, with the situation. I'm just wondering if she's heard much about, you know, Graham Mertz. You know, it's just perplexing to me how a young man who just is outstanding skills coming into the Badgers and playing well that first game. And then, you know, some of the things he had trouble even handing the ball off in a couple games this year. So it's perplexing how you could lose those skills. And I've been reading one comment. Of course, there's many out there, but a possibility, and this may be just a little too much out there, but that COVID, he had COVID, and we know that there are people that struggle with some of the things after, you know, long haulers. Has she heard any, I mean, is this just too far out to, at first I thought so, but then, you know, you look at it, he's more skilled than what he's showing. I'm just wondering what she thinks.
Yeah, well, thanks, John, for calling. What do you think, Megan?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything about the potential long-term impact of COVID related to his situation. I definitely understand what you're saying about the ups and downs. I know when he started his first game last year against Illinois to open the season, it looked like it was going to be a new era in Wisconsin football. I think this season, you know, it's I would say that Wisconsin is usually known for its offensive line, and its offensive line has struggled tremendously this year. And Wisconsin doesn't have a running back of the caliber they had the last 2 years when Jonathan Taylor was still here to kind of help open up the offense. And so I think that Graham Mertz has kind of been put in a difficult situation. And Paul Christ has said that, you know, you can't really pinpoint the offensive challenges on one player or in one place, because it's really the offense as a whole that's had a hard time. I would say I think that Graham Mertz probably best series of this year so far was right at the end of the first half of this Michigan game. And then unfortunately, you know, he goes out with a chest injury early in the second half. And so it's hard to say, you know, maybe whether that would have been a turning point in this game as he's kind of started to figure things out. And you know, a lot of it does come down to decision-making. But I think when you're not getting a lot of protection, it really kind of rushes those decisions and puts you at risk as you've got some of these opposing players kind of getting through so quickly and so easily. I think there's maybe a lot of factors at play.
Yeah. But yeah, you could just if you could just bottle that little period toward the end of the second quarter, where he got more better support all the way around.
I mean, I mean, it was really bad, unfortunate timing. And fortunately, you know, I don't know whether he'll be able to play this weekend. But he did go to the hospital for that chest injury, and I saw that Jeff Kitis from the Journal Sentinel posted a picture. He was not suited up at practice yesterday, but was there and standing. And you know, hopefully he'll be able to return quickly. But it was unfortunate timing to go from a real kind of high moment to a low. And I would say, you know, one thing that not a lot of teams have had to deal with this season is the Badgers have played four games, I think. And, you know, they're three of them are against number four Penn State, number 14 Notre Dame, and number nine Michigan. And there's not a lot of teams who have had to go through that kind of the gauntlet so early in the season. And so, you know, hopefully as things are going to kind of slow down. I know we've got to play Iowa, who's a very good team coming up. But otherwise, the schedule gets a little bit easier. And so maybe that will give him the opportunity to get a little bit more comfortable rather than facing some of these really top-tier opponents.
What about a basketball? Anything from Marquette or the Badgers on the basketball front?
You know, I think one thing that'll be really kind of exciting to see this year with college basketball coming up is we're going to have a couple of new coaches in the mix.
Yeah.
I have to say, the UW women haven't necessarily, at least during my time in Wisconsin, been too competitive. But I was really struck hearing from their new coach, Marissa Mosley, right after she was hired. And she was just so so refreshing to talk to, so dynamic, and you know, I think really maybe invigorating for this team. She's young, and she's got great experience having coached with Gino Auriemma at UConn, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. And then of course at Marquette, they've got Shaka Smart starting his tenure there, so that'll certainly be exciting. And then talk about inconsistencies, but the UW men's basketball team is coming off of an NCAA tournament appearance, and they, you know, they haven't necessarily in the last couple of years been able to put together very complete seasons. They've had their ups and downs, but they're getting ready to play with a really, I think, young and exciting team. Yesterday, Greg Gard did an availability where he just talked about, you know, just how much enthusiasm he's seen from the team, how much effort they've put in already. And so I think they'll be really interesting to follow this year with a lot of young and talented players.
And I just, in our last minute and a half or so, the Ryder Cup, you had a chance to wander around on last Saturday. I've played Whistling Straits, so I know what it's like. And as a, what are your thoughts?
I don't think that it seems fun to play Whistling Straits. It was certainly fun to walk around and watch other people do it. But what a challenging and beautiful golf course. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. It's stunning. But it seems quite dangerous if you don't have a lot of skill. And I think, you know, I imagine for people all over the world were watching. It's a huge international event. It was, I think, probably a great advertisement for Sheboygan County and Wisconsin golf because it was just stunning, especially with to see like some boats moored out on Lake Michigan, watching the action. And You know, a beautiful view pretty much from every hole. And not only that, but it was a great showing for the Americans. It was some really good golf to watch.
It was indeed. I got to play it a while back, and I happened to be just paired with George Wendt, who was Norm from Cheers, and his son, and his son's best friend, and his son and his son's best friend were both on their high school teams, and so they played from the tips. And it was it's quite an experience to play that course. I can tell you that I was it's so intimidating. It is so intimidating. Every hole makes you just knees are knocking. It seems like every time you get up to the tee, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just walking it. A good workout for your legs with all the hills. And I have to say that there are moments where it was quite a raucous atmosphere, and people certainly, you know, had a few drinks, and there are moments where you have some real fear for the people who are just trying to climb up onto some of the little hills to get a better view and come sliding right back down. But it was really incredible. And the United States was able to win by a record margin, which was really cool, especially considering Europe had won four of the last five going into
this tournament. Into it. We are out of time, Megan. Darn. We'll do it again. Thank you so much, Megan Hart, our sports reporter for WPR. And thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.